Well,
Yeah.
yeah.
These guys, yeah.
Stop every day. He had a joke. And it started to be so
So then we just started again. He was
Good morning, everyone. We're gonna get started.
Helped.
Oh, I'll have to check.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Good morning and welcome to the April 11, 2024 regular meeting of the Orange County Human Relations Commission. The agenda contains a brief general description of each item to be considered. Except as provided by law, no action shall be taken on any item not appearing on the agenda. Public participation is encouraged in person and via Zoom. Public comments will be accepted during the open forum portion of the meeting. If you're attending in person and wish to speak during open forum, please complete a speaker request form and turn it into the clerk prior to the start of open forum. If you're participating via Zoom and would like to speak during open forum, please click the raise hand icon in Zoom or dial *9 when the open forum is called. When you are called upon to make your comment, unmute yourself or dial *6. For those calling in, you will be called upon by your telephone number. Please state your name if you wish to identify yourself prior to speaking. Speakers will be given 3 minutes to speak, and the clerk will run the timer and announce your time is up.
Item number two, which is.
All right.
Good morning, everybody. Nice to see everybody. I've been thinking a lot about human relations work over the last many months. And there's a story I'd like to share with you. This person comes to their clergy person and says, I feel really badly. I gossiped about somebody and I said some things that weren't true, so forth and so on, and I'd really like to repent. And the clergy person says, okay, here's what you need to do. You need to take a pillow and go to a cliff and unzip the pillow and let all the feathers go out and come back to me. So the guy does exactly as the clergy person says, goes to the ledge, lets the feathers out, and then comes back to the clergy person. And he says, okay, now what do I do? Am I forgiven? He goes, no, no, you need to now go back and collect all the feathers, and then you will be forgiven. Of course, that's an impossibility. And in the world in which we live, unfortunately, there are a lot of feathers out there that can never be reclaimed. And some of those feathers are hate-filled feathers. And so that's where the role, I think, of this commission and of Groundswell comes in a really profound and meaningful way. Because part of our job, I think, is to speak out against the feathers that cannot be collected. And I think stand tall against those who would spread such feathers. You know, the internet is just about the worst place for these feathers to spread. But we knew about this even 2,000 years ago. In a book called the Talmud, it said the words spoken in Jerusalem land in Rome. This is before mail. This is before, that's how quickly words spread and reputations get ruined. And whether it's the world of politics or business, but particularly in human relations, I think we really need honest brokers who sit around the table and don't spread feathers. It's important to disagree, but disagree in ways that keep the feathers right here, where people can talk and share and wrestle and deal with one another in a way that is respectful of one another's humanity. And so I hope that that is the work that we will continue to do going forward from this point forward.
Is monthly summary of commission activities.
Okay, so monthly summary of activities for March 2024. I'll be going by line item for contract activity for the periods January 1st, 2024 to March 31st, 2024. Line item A, organize meetings for the Hate Crime Prevention Network Group and lead hate prevention efforts. We saw four in that period. Line item B, monitor and offer support when intergroup relations or bias-related community conflicts, tension, or crises arise. We saw four in that specified period. Line item C, follow up on hate activity reports referred from 211 OC. We see 19 in that period, a pretty significant increase from the past periods. Line item D, offer listening sessions or restorative community dialogues process to promote respect and understanding to diverse communities and or to address tension, conflict, or crisis when it arises, such as law enforcement, schools, religious institutions, et cetera. We saw two in that specified period. Line item E, service on advisory committees for local city police departments, as well as assist the Orange County Sheriff's Department to convene a countywide interfaith advisory council. Two were reported for that period. F, deliver multilingual, multicultural, and diverse community-based hate prevention through community outreach, relationship building efforts, collaboration and network meetings, and attending diverse community law enforcement events. We saw 74 in that period, again, a pretty big significant increase compared to the other periods. Line item G, provide monthly comprehensive hate activity database and reporting data reports. We saw three in that period. Contract activity examples for this month. Staff facilitated hate prevention network work group meetings to discuss hate reduction in communities and conflict and beyond. Staff attended different community network meetings such as United Against Hate, OC Conditions for Children Report, and the virtual State of Race meeting. Staff continued to meet with different leaders in the Jewish and Muslim and Palestinian communities. Staff convened with NAACP and Green Foundation to discuss collaboration with law enforcement in hate reduction efforts.
Hi, my name is Sandy Lester, and I'm here today asking you to take action against vitriolic hate that is being tolerated in this county. It's no secret that anti-Semitism has risen astronomically since October 7th. The extreme level of hate directed at Jews is at once scary, yet not surprising. It is scary because the words and actions being used are disgusting, hateful, and violent. As Jews, we now have to avoid certain locations, intersections, and even events so as not to put ourselves in danger. The discussions about the upcoming graduation season are truly heartbreaking. Yet the rise in anti-Semitism is not surprising because Jews have experienced this throughout their thousands of years of history. This violent hate did not start with October 7th, but neither will it end with October 7th. If people like this commission, charged with combating hate, do not take a stand, demand accountability, and do the hard work to eliminate the divisiveness that is tearing this community apart. Imagine being a Jewish student on campus and being spit upon, screamed at, excluded from clubs and activities, and other indignities merely because you're Jewish. Imagine being Jewish and having a horde of angry protesters screaming right in your face that Hitler should have finished the job and kill all the Jews. Imagine living in Orange County almost your entire life, growing up facing anti-Semitism, thinking things had gotten better, but then attending Human Relations Commission meetings and listening to speaker after speaker spew anti-Semitic tropes, falsely blame all manner of atrocities on a fellow commissioner because he is a Jewish leader. All of these are personal and they hurt, and there are many more. Finding our shared humanity, facilitating respectful dialogue, and hopefully discovering a shared desire for true and lasting community peace should be the goal. How will this commission achieve that? Will you partner with organizations that proudly hold hate so tightly in their hearts that they do not have the capacity to work to eradicate hate in others? Or will you look for partners that want to find a real solution for unity and peace in our community, despite our differences? You cannot bring about peaceful coexistence without wanting to peacefully coexist. This commission stood up against hate in many forms, and rightly so. So we'll also stand up against Jew hate. In this anti-hate work, there's no place for selective empathy. Hate is hate. Taking a stand against anti-Semitism is simple. You just need to take a stand against hate. Thank
you. Next speaker is Amy Buck.
Good morning. My name is Amy Buck. This is my bubby. She left Russia as a young girl to escape the pogroms. I think my bubby would be shocked to know that I'm speaking here today about anti-Semitism. I'm sure that my great bubby thought that she was protecting me, her future great-granddaughter, by leaving everything she knew so we could be openly Jewish as a family. So I've been here now 3 times. I'm not sure that I've moved the needle on anything, which is okay, but I want to tell you why I'm so concerned. On November 20th, a press release was issued about the commission, calling out Commissioner Steinberg and Schrader for their no votes on a statement about Islamophobia. In the press release, there's no context for the no vote, leading the reader to assume that your fellow commissioners are Islamophobic. For Commissioner Steinberg, it didn't stop there. As you know, he's been harassed. A lifetime of dedication ignored. This part only happened to him. Please know, I don't want Commissioner Schrader to be harassed, but you're probably an amazing leader, and that's not part of my statement. But why rabbi? Is it because he's a rabbi? Is it because he's Jewish? If I were a commissioner at the time of the vote, I too would be called out because I would have shared the same concerns that Commissioner Schrader and Steinberg had. So why am I harping on this? Why do I keep coming back? I keep coming back because it's puzzling to me that there's not more concern about this on the part of the commission. Can you imagine if any of you had said something that was taken out of context and that a group of people was incited as a result? I've been coming and I've been trying to be nice and gentle and informative, sharing sentiments about how great Rabbi Steinberg is and how he has been combating hate or how anti-Semitism is bad. We know it is. But these are obvious points, and I know my words are not enough. What has gnawed at me, though, is why this even happened, and will it happen again? I hope that this chilling set of outcomes does not move you as commissioners to silence or to not taking a stand. Islamophobia, anti-Semitism, transphobia, racism, all bad. We know this. But silence alone has never eradicated hate. In fact, it enables it. I encourage you not to just listen, but to stand up against hate. Stand up for what you believe. Even if I disagree with it, stand up for it. Stand up for each other, please. Be there for each other. This is hard work. I know. I was in one of those seats. But I believe in each of you and your ability to make a difference. Thank you.
Item number 4 is Commissioner Staff Reports, Commission Meeting Update, Listening Session Opportunities, and Engagement Opportunity Groundswell Shape and the Wave of Hope Groundswell Annual Groundswell Gala.
So for letter A, I just wanted to share that moving forward, regardless of whether the commission meetings are in this space at CAS or CANS or in the community, we're going to make sure that there's access to internet and that we're always broadcasting the Zoom option. Last month, we were at a public space and we didn't open that up, but it wasn't specific in the vote of the instructions that the commission voted on. So we wanted to make the announcement that moving forward and make sure that wherever we land, whether it's here or outside of the community, we're gonna make sure that we always have the option for Zoom options for people to call in or watch. So I wanna make that announcement here. B, it's, if you look at your packet, if you look at pages 6 and 7, it's something that's been in the package for a couple months now. It's a first one is announcing our listening sessions There's my staff are doing the community, so if there's any interest in that, you could always connect with Maureen. Her email address is in this flyer. We could always do an intake, be brains, thought partners in whatever the community is in need of or is interested in. We're open for those discussions. And we're open to doing anything virtually or in person. It's up to what the community needs.
So just curious, how are communities impacted reached out to so that they know that these exist?
How do they reach out?
In other words, we make an ad and then do people get reached out to by us? I mean, how did somebody know about this?
So first off, this is a flyer that we created for the commission. So people are able, either if they're tuning in or they're here in person, they're able to access the information of who to connect with if they're interested. Outside of that, we've been announcing stuff through our listservs, and so they can connect with my staff or myself if they're interested. We've done specific outreach to different community organizations, both in the Muslim and in the Jewish community, just to say, hey, how can we support? Is there something that we can do? So those are the two different ways that we've been connecting. This one is part of a chair and vice chair asking me to put something in the packet for those who are in the public and wanted to know more about it and who to connect with if they're interested.
Gotcha. So just a suggestion, since you have a representative group here, I think you should feel free to utilize us, which is exactly what this flyer is doing. But if we want these to be impactful for impacted communities, to reach out specifically to those impacted communities, I think is a really thoughtful idea. So use us is my point.
Great. Thank you. The second flyer page. I don't have any. Oh, my gosh, it's 7. This is just, again, Groundswell's having their monthly webinar, part of their Shaping Tomorrow series. This month is Introduction on Implicit Bias. It is free. So there is a QR code for folks if they'd like to register. And next month we'll have a separate type of workshop that will be offered for the community, and they're online. Lastly, Groundswell is having their Groundswell Gala. The theme is A Wave of Hope, and that is going to take place April 30th at the Muckenthaler Mansion in Fullerton. So if you want more information, let me know and I can connect you with our development folks or the person who's leading the event. So
can we just get it to all the commissioners and see if we can do a push to get
I was, but I think we have to make changes to whatever we provide to the public. But if you're interested, I could always just send you the info and then connect with our our planners.
Have we already had some of these listening sessions?
Yeah, they show up in our monthly summaries and our numbers. Yes. So as of late, we have not been able to hold any. But early on, I want to say November, December, and January were pretty busy months. And we had one in with Access California. We had one with Cal State Fullerton. I can't remember the other ones, but there was about 4 sessions that we held. And one of them was a mix of students who requested the space. Others were just parents who needed a connection and wanted just a space to be able to debrief, etc. So we are right now we're still offering it. Yet there hasn't been, there's a lot going on where we haven't gotten a response. specifically with some of our Jewish partners. So we were working with Jewish Federation OC, where we're trying to see if we could set up something with the students. That still hasn't come to fruition. And I know that ADL right now is working with us in a specific work group around how is it that we're able to move forward. Not totally agree on everything, but how can we move the hate prevention work forward in those communities? So well, we hope that, you know, maybe in connecting with you all and other folks that we might be able to hold more of those spaces for folks.
For the events that were held, was there feedback provided from those that actually participated that can guide?
You know, I will have to get back to you on that. I will have to connect with my staff to see if we have any of the survey or kind of the pre post stuff that we implemented. If they implemented.
If I can add, we Access Cal in collaboration with CARE, in collaboration with Crownsville, we'll be holding a listening session next week. So for just a note for all the commissioners, if you do want to hold a listening group session, we reached out to, for example, different colleges, different groups on those colleges who were interested in listening sessions. We worked with them to schedule a date with them. And then I was in contact with Marine and we were able to get the registration set up and everything set up. So for the commission who are interested in doing that with their community, that's how we were able to get it and hoping to plan more in the future as well.
And who facilitates that? Is that a Groundswell staff or is that more Access or?
No, it's Groundswell staff.
I didn't understand what you were saying about working group with the ADL. And you said something about
Have the hate prevention network. And part of the hate prevention network, ADL is a part of that group. We also have Jewish Federation who has been part of that group as well. So this network has decided to break off and do different work groups and focus on different areas of work, data, outreach. And one specific group decided to form around how is the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and how is it that this group can serve as a model on how to bring people together who might not disagree on the issue but are willing to put in the work to prevent hate in Orange County. Now it's really new. So they're still working on sort of like the values. They have a value set, but they're still working through some of how is it that they can operationalize this idea.
Thank you.
I mean, I just think it's important to note that one of the partners at the table, CARE, mm-hmm. if you disagree with them, then they denounce you publicly. So it concerns me that in the hate prevention network, they're trying to create an atmosphere in which human relations work can be done. And yet, through experience, we found that they're not honest brokers in that regard because they will put you on social media and denounce you if you disagree with them. So I think that's something that Groundswell really needs to look into who they're partnering with in that regard, because that's of deep concern to me that the county would be supporting an organization that would do that in the work in which we are trying to have those really honest disagreements. I mean, the issues of the Middle East are real and difficult and challenging and painful. But if you disagree, then you get threatened. And, you know, we get the last 3 months of meetings. So I can't implore Groundswell enough to really think about that issue in this regard. It's of great concern to me.
So, and just to note, I mean, if there's an interest to know who's part of the network, I can always send that list out. There's a variety of different organizations representing both communities are in that space. And specifically for the Israel-Palestinian work group, these are people that committed themselves to work to prevent hate. We didn't even ask. They said, we want to form this group because we feel it's important to do so. And Julia has done a great job in trying to be, you know, to set that example of what is a hate prevention network and what that space is not. And we're, like I said, it's in its infancy right now, but really we're trying to make sure that there's that trust built, that there's that accountability built. If someone is, you know, targeted, is victimized, that that group is able to hold itself accountable. And in doing so, whether it's that space or maybe an outside of that. So like I said, we're, the group is still working through it. They met maybe once or twice. Yeah, so it's been about 2 or 3 times that the group has met thus far.
So if I could just interrupt for 1 second. If it's under the umbrella of Groundswell, then I would just say it's not for the group to hold itself accountable. It's for Groundswell to hold them accountable. If it's your table, you get to determine who, and if it's commitment sponsored, then I would encourage this commission to set some consequences for people who don't work in the virtues of what human relations ought to be. So I really, and I'm happy to work on that set of protocols or whatever, because as I said, the discussion absolutely has to happen. There are real issues and real pain and real hate against Muslims in our country, and certainly against Jews in our country. We really got to work through all those. But if you disagree and then you get skewered, that is not in the spirit of human relations. And so it's Groundswell and the commission that ought to hold those actors accountable, not itself. I mean, so I don't know if there's, we can agendize that, Madam Chair. I mean, if these working groups or a hate prevention network is under the commission contract, then I think we have a responsibility to be much more active as a commission in setting those protocols instead of just leaving it to the groups and to the staff of Groundswell.
Can I add something? Sometimes I've been in a lot of organizations, and a lot of times, and I don't know how this is structured, but a lot of times there are norms and codes that set forth the conduct, and each member that participates agrees in writing just to abide by that conduct. And then there are consequences outlined like exclusion. And so I don't know what's been put in place, but it's certainly in building trust, which is what I think is the issue here. There is a lack of trust, unfortunately, amongst groups because of some of these actions in the past that, and also everyone's inability to police themselves. I think we have to be honest about that. No one's going to police themselves. So we can hold ourselves only accountable when we hold each other accountable, and setting up sort of parameters on the front end may help you engender trust.
Yeah, I would say that we should not exclude anyone. I'm really glad that the whole community is trying to come together, and maybe it's an opportunity to continue this dialogue. Like, I don't know who else can bring folks together, but folks in, you know, like in this commission. So what, you know, I don't understand the conflict, you know, specifically, but I just know CARE is an organization that has reached out and has really deep roots into the community. And so I think everybody having a seat at the table is how conflict is resolved. And so while there might be issues, they won't get resolved unless everybody's at the table. So I just want to, you know, encourage, you know, the fact that there's outreach already that's happening, and I think it's great, and excluding folks would not, in my opinion, be helpful.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend the last meeting, but I have participated in multiple hate crime prevention network meetings, including one where the working groups were initiated. And what I can say about that meeting and everyone who was there is that it was one of the best community interactions and honest discussions that I had participated in or witnessed, because really I more so witnessed versus actively participating in, on that day. And while I was not at the most recent meeting, I appreciate the concern, I felt at that meeting like it was, everyone in the room was trying to be honest, but also in being honest, being respectful of one another. And I did not witness in that room that lack of respect, really, and care for one another. But there was real honesty, and that is difficult to do right now as well. And so I think that, again, I wasn't there at the last meeting. I don't know what happened then, but I feel like everyone in the room is committed to moving forward and trying to work to heal the community and doing the real work. Whether or not we need to put structures in place, I don't know, because it seems like it's happening organically and through the leadership in the meetings. But, you know, I'd be willing to have a discussion about it beyond that. But I guess the other thing I would say is, I guess the other challenge is you have people in the meeting who are representing themselves as well as an organization. They can't necessarily control what happens outside of that meeting.
And that's another issue the HPN has to look at, is people around that table, should it be individuals or should be the kind of recognized leaders of each of those communities to be at that table? I mean, just because you're Jewish, for example, does that give you the right to sit at that table? I don't know.
And I think it's a mix. And so I would leave that up to Norman and Helia to talk about as far as who was there.
Well, I would like to leave it up to the commission. If it's a commission sponsored event, then I think we have some say. And I don't know how we agendize that. That I will leave in your hands, but that is something I'd like to really think about how it's formed and to take some control, actually, to see and ensure that the people who sit around that table are acting in the exact faith that you're talking about, which is wonderful to hear. I'm really glad to hear that that was the case. And I don't want to exclude anybody either, but if people exclude themselves by their own behavior, then they don't deserve to be at that table.
So I actually just wanted to second everything that Natalie was saying. I've also been attending the Hate Prevention Networks and part of the working groups, the Israel-Palestine working groups. And we've had very, very tough discussions. But like she said, it's one of the most respectful conversations I've ever had, despite the toughness of it. And I think even though leaders should be at the table, you know, we know our community leaders are busy, but their community members are also representing them. And they're reflective of their missions and their values. So I also agree that we shouldn't exclude these community members who have been already working so hard these past few meetings and who've already done the internal work.
Yeah, if they're representing their community organization 100%, for sure. Yeah. I totally agree.
But I mean, again, I am open to discussion, but I think how it's been going and how it's been facilitated by Groundswell has been very, very productive. And it's been a great show of what community can look like, so.
I would just be a little concerned about us sort of dictating to the staff on how to reach out into the community, because frankly, I don't think that we've ever done that. I think we've tried to participate, but that's what the team is there to do. I would feel, unless we're gonna chime in on every single issue, I would feel weird about, you know, dictating to folks who to include and who to, you know, exclude or to come to the table. I just don't think that that's part of something that that we've done in this space. And I could be wrong. You've been here much longer than I have, but I'm also open to hearing some thoughts about that.
Yeah, I think it's worthy of the conversation.
Someone, can you clarify for the Hate Prevention Network, who's invited or who's allowed to be at the table?
Currently, last year, when we began to set the standard, was organizations who were originally part of hate prevention long, long time ago. And then also with a lot of the funding that the state has put forth around Stop the Hate and then Victims Support Assistance, a lot of organizations in Orange County are part of that funding as well. So we made an effort to reach out to say, hey, we should probably work together since we're all trying to aim on, you know, reducing or preventing hate in the community. I will be frank that as of late, we've gotten a lot of interest from folks from what's happened here around joining the HPN. And my staff and I have been very clear on there's a process. They have to meet with us first to kind of share what is it, what's the purpose, why do they want to be there? And depending on that assessment, especially with making sure that they understand what the HPN offers, what the space is, it's really about creating belonging, co-creation, and that with the honest effort of trying to prevent hate in Orange County, that there's no space for personal attacks, that we're not opening a space for to propagate any type of rhetoric that's going to harm communities. So as of right now, most of whoever's in the space are all part of an organization that has either funding in this work or has been part of HPN for a long time. And they don't have funding, but they have committed to our work and have been partners for a while with Groundswell.
That just doesn't comport with my experience over the last 4 months. I mean, you said people have to be respectful. They have to be involved in the work. So the attacks against me over the last many months from this organization that sits at your table it doesn't comport with what you're saying, Norma. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm taken aback by the fact that group is allowed to sit there and talk as an honest broker when with the other side of their organization hand, whatever you want to call it, spews anti-Semitic canards at me all day long. I mean, I just, the two don't add up. They don't add up. And that's why I want to hold the HPN and our commission accountable and take back some measure of supervision if it's within our bylaws to do so. And if it's being funded by county money, the county might be disturbed to know that while on one day people speak honestly and kindly and thoughtfully, even though it's a hard discussion, and at the other end, they're denouncing commissioners, you know, on the internet. The two don't go together, my friends. I mean, they just don't live together. If you're in the human relations world, you commit to exactly what Natalie was saying, having those hard conversations, really thinking about the issues, really being honest in the most painful ways, but then you don't gin up a bunch of anti-Semitism or anti-Islamophobia or Islamophobia rather, or whatever it might be. I mean, if the KKK wanted to sit at the table or the Proud Boys or whatever, what would be the mechanism for not allowing them to sit there? And until I can be assured that there's a set of protocols and consequences for bad behavior, I'm dubious about what this will be. And I think the commission has a role to play there. I don't know how or what. I mean, I think that's something for us to figure out. I'm with Ada. I don't really want to exclude anybody. We have to have these conversations with everybody, but it has to be with the commitment that you're going to have the conversation without skewering people. And if that's committed to, and then somebody violates that, then there's a consequence for that. That's really the only point that I'm making. And I think the conversations have to be had. These are so important. I mean, but you can't do it with one hand while at the other hand, you know, smashing people down in the most vitriolic, awful ways. I mean, you haven't been here the last many months, so you haven't witnessed what's taken place, but it's been not pleasant.
Norma, can you confirm? When it comes to the Hate Prevention Network, like, are we allowed to attend?
I think I'd probably ask Ted or Christina to.
Did you say
that? Okay. Or...
Yeah.
How could we not be able to attend?
No, see, they're still discussing.
Yeah, we have too many.
Because of Brown's Act and all that stuff. That's
oh, like that, there's so many of us.
Yeah.
I just got on the, remember I got on the email list? Just to
to get the
I'm understanding. Yeah, just
I think it would be different. Stuff, yeah. And,
but isn't it a county public meeting?
No,
it's not. We'll have
to go. Ted,
it's fine. Ted Knapp, county, representing the county of Christina, government affairs. In terms of the contract, the existing contract. A prevention network is a contract activity. The contract right now that's existing is for you. So in terms of oversight, clear. We would have to speak with Norma and her team. Groundswell is the contractor, so they are tasked in the contract to put these groups together, at least help facilitate those groups. But this contract is for the commission. So there is some degree of interest there. We can discuss it more with Norma and her team, but in terms of bylaws, I don't have it in front of me right now, but we'll also look at the bylaws.
Thank you.
And can you follow up with an email with that information for the whole commission?
Yes.
And agendize at least a discussion about it, or maybe even a presentation to walk us through that by somebody.
What do you mean by presentation to walk us through?
Well, Ted says it's under commission contract, but what does that really mean? I mean, at this point, are we hands-on in the weeds? Are we just really, you know, figureheads? I mean, those are important questions to answer that I don't have the answer to. So I would like to know the answer to that.
So just to clarify for me, do we want it as a presentation or an action item?
Presentation would be really helpful.
Okay.
I would like to see what the staff's role is in the commission, in addition to, you know, what this body can dictate to the staff.
So specifically in the contract, it's only me, not the staff. The staffing is part of the...
Or to you.
Yeah.
As a staff.
I'm the one who staffs here, and then they do the contractual program.
Got it.
Delivery. I will agendize the presentation.
Yeah, and either these conversations are really germane or they're moot. So you'll let us know and we'll figure it out from there.
I think do we need to put an action item down in order to take action?
Yeah, if it's a presentation, it's a presentation, and
so the maybe commission, we want to do both, even if we decide not to take action,
anything,
we just not
unless
take action.
It's agendized.
But at least it would be there for us to do one on
two. I would agree with that. And
just
we don't
a
have
suggestion
to take action,
so that
we
don't like keep this going agenda after agenda. It'd be nice to just resolve it.
We don't know what the action is until we know it. So it's probably 2 months.
Yeah. All right.
Put your seatbelt on.
Anybody else have any questions, comments about this?
Yes. I think to like Ada's point in terms of not excluding an organization, and if the organization seems to be committed to not doing what happened, is there room for restorative justice? Mm-hmm. You know, like, is there room for like restorative justice with you specifically?
100%.
Like that, I mean,
that question.
That is something that Groundswell does. And so I think that instead of continuing for this to be so divisive, is there a way for there? But with restorative justice, there has to be something on both, coming from both sides, right? And so, There has to be a give and take, right? And if the community came forward, there was a perceived harm to the community, right, from you, right? And so and that had to do with the vote, right? And so if there is an opportunity for you to explain directly to the community your decision on the vote, I think that that's the way potentially to have resolve. It could go really bad, but if the organizations, you know, based on the conversations that you have all witnessed, if the organization is committed to these values and codes of conduct, and being respectful, then I think that maybe, I don't know.
I mean, I think that we do also need to establish that there are going to be votes that people don't agree on because we're a body of diverse people. And that every time someone doesn't disagree on a vote, we have an expectation that we can still work together, right? Mm-hmm. Because we all are in bodies where we have votes, we don't agree, and then we move on to the next, right? And so I understand the community felt aggrieved by the vote. As somebody who worked on the resolution and pushed it forward, even though Rabbi Steinberg didn't agree with it, I understand why. Right? There's no, like, I worked collaboratively with you, right, to get that forward. And it might not have been the language that I would have personally selected, but we decided collaboratively that that was what we put forward. So I don't know how to communicate what I'm trying to say, which is that we must impress on people as a body that we do support deform. We do support collaboration even when we disagree, and that every vote can't be like the end of the world, because really what we do here is really committed. And nobody deserves to be singled out and attacked because someone disagrees with the vote to the extent that this is happening here. I just wanted to share.
And I can clarify, just
at least
in the words that people, I just want people to be mindful. It wasn't a resolution, it was a statement.
Statement.
Sorry.
I just wanted to say I did get an opportunity that day and also the following meeting to express the reason why I personally voted no. And I know they listened to the meeting. That's how they got the information that they got. And so I don't know. They may not have liked why I voted no, but it was a very tight, small reason. So I'm not sure. I'm happy to keep sharing it, but I did share it. I felt like that was my obligation to do because I didn't really want to vote no. So kind of was really tight with what my reason was. So, but yeah, I mean, I would personally be open to that as well if there was some value in me explaining that again in a different form.
If that's the case, I mean, it's brought up. Is this something that we would ask Norma to explore with you guys?
Yeah.
If it becomes part of the process, for sure.
Yeah. I had a meeting with Norma and Allie and Dawn the other day, and I said, I'll always sit at a table to have a discussion, always. But I won't do it while I'm being attacked from a script that's written by an organization that is out to malign me and my reputation. So that has to be resolved first before I sit at the table, because I don't sit at a table like a hostage. I just won't do it. So, but I am always willing to sit and talk with people, because that's how we resolve things. That's how we do it. And even if it's painful. And so I really appreciate it, and I'm glad the HPN is having these hard conversations. That actually makes me happy in a weird way. But I still think we need to have some protocols and some consequences for those who are not fulfilling the kind of mission of human relations, which is why I've dedicated a decade and a half to the work. So appreciate the rich conversation. Thank you. Thank you all.
That's a Norma. I mean, if you can follow up with Rabbi and Shader about this.
Okay. I might need a little bit more information.
I know. But I have to say, I have a tinge of hope.
Well, you have to have some. Otherwise, right. Why are we here?
Yeah.
Next item is update from OC Chiefs and Sheriff.
Yeah, he's not available.
Item 6 is OCSD Interfaith Council update.
Yes. So let me just pull it up here. On April 24th at Core AME Church from 11 to 1, there'll be a great program put on by the Sheriff's Department for faith organizations on how to combat online hate. And in addition, how to protect yourself and your organization from it being infected with the virus. So really, really important. For those of you who have outreach to faith organizations, all you have to do is email Gail at the Sheriff's Department. If you don't have a contact, I do, or Norma does. Particularly if you have out of your city or organization's subcommittee. I know Irvine has a really large interfaith security group. This is kind of the perfect event for that. It's 2 hours and they feed you. And then what's really nice about these meetings is then you learn about the church that you're at and their religious values and whatnot. And Pastor Ralph, who's at Core IME, is just a real champion of human rights and of you know, fighting hate wherever we find it. So it's really worth going to. So hope you'll join us.
Last is announcements from commissioners.
I did want to share why I wasn't here at the last meeting and why I walked out of the meeting before that. During the public comment, I didn't have a chance to address that with you guys. But I was asked to be on this commission by Supervisor Foley because not just my board experience, not just because I'm a Jewish person, because I've personally been on the receiving end of anti-Semitic harassment. And so I bring to this commission that experience working through that. And I also worked on, you know, for Black Lives, I've worked against anti-Asian hate. I've worked on the resolution here, our LGBTQ resolution, and been an ally in this community. The reason I left that meeting was because having worked on that resolution, as I mentioned earlier, I understood why Rabbi Steinberg voted against it. There's never any hard feelings for anyone who votes for or against anything. We pick where we think that we land on these issues, but we show up to be collaborative. And quite frankly, I was blown away. I have attended many meetings with a lot of outspoken and public sentiments that disagree with votes I've taken, votes others have taken, council meetings, commission meetings. But what I heard during that meeting was the most anti-Semitism I've heard in a public forum housed by the government in a government building in my life. And it was really triggering. It was really disturbing. There was blood libel. It was not just directed at Rabbi Steinberg, though it was directed at him. Those sentiments were about Jews and the Jewish community. They invoked tropes that are incredibly painful to our community. At some point, someone named me and said I had said something at a meeting I wasn't at. I don't even know what they were talking about, but it was so upsetting to me that I could not, we're not elected officials, right? We're volunteers. We come here to do good work in the community. And my my emotional bandwidth is not best used to listen to people spend hours yelling at the rep. I do think that we have the ability when those things happen to put in limits, and that didn't happen, right? You can limit the time when you have 100 speakers so that we don't spend hours listening to people just saying this kind of stuff. Well, none of that happened. It was very upsetting to me, and I've spoken with many folks about it, including the rabbi, in condemning it. I will say this is the most disappointing and frustrating commission I've ever been on in 20 years. And that is because this is the only commission in this county that serves to stand up against hate, including anti-Semitism, and the dead silence in the room in some of these conversations when things are targeted against Jewish people chills me. It chills me when folks don't condemn it. We had a conversation early on after October 7th, where I asked if we had the Holocaust today, would this commission comment on that? And the room was dead silent. And that was one of the scariest kind of public moments I've had as a Jewish person. So I've come back. I did send Norma and Jennifer an email letting them know I wouldn't be here last month because I found the environment hostile to me as a Jewish person. And I wouldn't subject that to myself. And I was really disappointed that I didn't get a response to that email for 3 weeks. That was just sort of a continuation of the sort of silence that I've heard that really let me down. I think it's our job to be not just people who listen to people and take in the information and go, I hope this all works out, but true leaders if we're gonna serve on a commission like this. And that does mean standing up for each other. And so I want to say that I support Rabbi Steinberg. I never got the opportunity to do that. I had actually public comments that members of the community wanted me to read that day. I didn't read from Rabbi Einstein, from Dinah Friedan. I didn't read them because I couldn't. I couldn't even speak. But those folks did want to speak in your support. I support you, just as I'll support all the other members of our commission, should they be attacked, because we can't do this work alone, but we as Jewish people need you to do this work with us. Thank you.
I know, I do.